going to switch gears now and talk about an issue that has been a pretty much a significant topic in Illinois over the issue of our water safety and, quite frankly, troubling issues that had previously gotten a lot of attention at the Quincy Veterans Home downstate over annual outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease, fatal outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease. And now we've got some new rules that are going into effect regarding water safety, water management. And joining me now is Brad Considine. He's the Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. Brad, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Glad to be with you. Thanks.
We talked a lot, and you've been on the show before. We talked a lot about all the attention that you know, the Quincy Veterans Home got over its cases of Legionnaires' disease. But, Legionnaires is actually, even though that outbreak and issues about how to deal with it, lots of questions involving that. But Legionnaires is something that's still relatively common, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think we're on the front end of trying to get control of the Legionnaires rates. And I think, you know, the first most important thing to understand in managing the issue is that the majority of the cases are individual and sporadic cases, so they're not a part of an outbreak. And the thing that we've been struggling with is it's hard to sustain the attention to this complex water system issue. Because the focus is always a response to an emergency or a crisis, and we're not attending to it regularly. And I think that's why we were so excited about the new water rules that were introduced in Illinois and approved just a few weeks ago, because it takes a more comprehensive approach to address bacteria over, you know, a more consistent basis, so it helps to address individual cases as well.
Well, as you say, it gets out in front of the issue rather than trying to be that reactive kind of dealing with these issues. And also, I think you guys have even gone so far as to say it really kind of brings monitoring water systems and water treatment into the 21st century.
It does, and it's long overdue. And, you know, when you think about other things like your food, you know, that we manage and monitor what's in our food, what the ingredients are, we're very careful about it. But we consume water as a matter of course, and we're not aware of what's going on with the water. And the issues of a aging water infrastructure across the United States is compounding the issue. We have more than a million miles of water distribution across the country, and most of it is now getting beyond its projected original life expectancy. And it's all hidden underground, so it's very hard for, you know, to get that topic on the table.
We're speaking with Brad Considine. He's the Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio. And joining me on the phone is Brad Considine, Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. We're talking about some new water safety rules that the state has adopted, dealing with Legionnaires' disease as well as just water treatment, water safety, something that we all kind of take for granted. And Brad, you mentioned about the infrastructure, and that's a significant issue with the, you know, the city of Chicago and lead pipes and those kinds of things. And I'm not sure that the nation really has come to grips about, you know, the depth of what we have to do to repair that infrastructure.
No, I don't think we have, but there are a number of groups where I think the discussion is growing around the issue of our water infrastructure. It was the National Summit on Waterborne Pathogens, which pathogens is a reference to bacteria and organisms that can cause illness, but regarding water infrastructure in Washington, D.C. this past month, and It was one of the first times we got together such a nice cross function of experts and EPA and academics that have studied and done the research and manufacturers and so on. And I think they all concluded that this conversation has to get elevated. And we're looking for some of that leadership on the government side to help pull those groups together to sustain the conversation. But as we become increasingly aware that water infrastructure is a major factor, if not the leading factor, and is compounded by some parts of the country where we have shrinking cities, where, you know, the water becomes more stagnant, and stagnancy is a real issue for bacterial growth, and they also get more fragile, and whenever you have disruptions in the water system, they disturb what's in the pipes and send that material down through the distribution system into our homes and workplaces. So it is an item that we need to continue to keep in front of the public.
So give us an idea of what are we looking at in these new rules? What will change here?
Well, overall, they give community water suppliers new guidance for how they operate, maintain, and design their system. But specifically, they have requirements, for example, on water storage, making sure that there's turnover of the water storage so that you don't have this stagnancy issue. If you look at the Quincy Veterans Home, you know, one of the things they did is they took down part of the system, part of the infrastructure, and the water sat at about 80 to 90 degrees, and it ultimately developed, you know, bacterial growth and so on. And then they restarted the system and sent that material down through the water system. So that turnover requirement and managing that is critical. The other one is better control of water age. Water that ages develops all kinds of issues with regard to consuming the chlorine, developing byproducts, and so forth. And these guidelines will affect how water pressure is managed, the water main sizing, eliminating inactive piping sections, which are what we call dead legs, where water can sit, and then promotes more flushing of that water. The third piece is that public records of water upset conditions, like water main breaks and so forth, need to be recorded. And I think what we're trying to get to is where those upset conditions are communicated, especially to large complex buildings and hospitals and healthcare facilities, because the people trying to manage it in the building need to know what's going on in the system. And I'd say the last part is that it does require an increase in a minimum residual disinfectant being present in the water throughout. And the reason for that is, in many cases, with the chlorine being consumed upstream, by the time it gets into our homes, it no longer has disinfectant present. And if the water main breaks and bacteria gets into the system, you need disinfectant to take care of the bacteria.
So what is that disinfectant?
Well, typically, I think, is chlorine. They also use the chloramine, and they have increased it to a 0.5 milligrams of free chlorine. The EPA allows up to 4 milligrams, which is really eight times that amount in total. And so this is to make sure that there's actually more disinfectant at the point it's entering into the buildings, rather than increasing the chlorine that people would end up consuming.
And so, I mean, this is to be done by the water treatment agencies, the management agencies.
Exactly. And there's a variety of techniques of how they can ensure that it's in place. There's some flexibility for how they administer it, but it's just increasing the requirement that the water that we receive is truly disinfected.
Yeah, well, you mentioned about, you know, how important it is for larger buildings, and you know, we talked about Quincy. I mean, just on Friday, I believe it was, the State Department of Public Health that was investigating two cases of Legionnaires in patients, two patients at Rush Oak Park Hospital, one in May and the other in July. And here again, you know, not to try to create a cause of concern here, but you know, that when you have healthcare facilities like we saw in Quincy, you know, that raises questions about what is going on with the water management.
It does, and I think what's really a focus is the healthcare facilities, because this bacteria, yeah, basically, we probably all interact with this bacteria, and when our bodies are healthy, we generally you know, don't have an issue with it, but the immune compromised, people that are, you know, seeking treatment for cancer, the elderly, the people that have had a variety of issues are more at risk. And so consequently, at hospitals, you know, that's where the sick immune compromised people, you know, travel and frequent. So the federal government just put out new regulations a couple of years ago that actually have higher requirements for hospitals to maintain, you know, their part of the system. But to your point, the only way to really, for them to be effective, is to know the water quality that's coming into their buildings. And too often when there is an outbreak, we have people going just to the building, just to points of exposure, a faucet, a shower head, you know, a hot tub or something, and we're not considering how that bacteria got there in the first place. And I think what we need is really a source to tap, is really the a range of solutions that are source to tap. And I think the new water guidelines will step up the management of the water quality coming to the buildings. And then I think, you know, there's a number of great new practices for building owners on how to mitigate the risk. There's a new standard in 2015 from ASHRAE, which is a trade association on mitigating the risk of Legionella in buildings. So there's increasing guidance, and we just need to bring it together and execute.
Brad, real quickly, someone on the text line wants to know about, are there any changes to domestic hot water temperatures and management?
There was some discussion about that, but obviously there's always the scalding risk, and there's none required that I'm aware of in these water guidelines. But on the temperature issue, you know, water at 140 to 160 starts to kill off the bacteria. You know, water at, you know, 80 to 100, it tends to be when the bacteria thrives.
That's Brad Considine, Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Alliance to Prevent Legionnaires' Disease. Brad, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.